What's up, YouTube? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Prestige Reef Talk Show. My name is Alex. I am Reef Talk. With me, as always, is Ryan from the UK's number one coral selling website, which is also the best coral selling website in the world, prestigereef.co.uk. Ryan, hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. It is actually a fact that that is the best website in the world. And do you know how I know?
I swear you just wing it. You literally just wing what you say at the beginning. It changes each time slightly.
I know. Well, I don't know why, but I always try to do something before the, like, because that little 30-second count, I start that 30-second countdown timer.
Yeah.
And if you just sit here, it's boring. I've got no attention span. So I'm like, So I just like went to open the window and then I had a sip of my water and suddenly I find myself with like 3 seconds left. I'm like, oh, quick. And then I'm like, hang on, what am I supposed to say? Or whatever.
I see. But
I watched the first ever live stream when you came on. And I said something along those lines that it was the best website for buying corals or something. I can't remember what I said, but
that was a long time ago. How did you find it?
It took a bit of time to get into it.
Yeah.
And I was going to upload it because you get with my software for the podcast, you get a certain amount of hours every month that are included in the package. And I've got enough hours to upload another one. So I was going to upload it, but I just thought it'd be weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever. But it took 20 minutes to get into it because we were just a bit, the chemistry wasn't there. But after 20 minutes, we were flowing. It was fine.
We've got loads of chemistry now, eh? Is that what you're saying?
But it was funny because I hadn't realized how long we'd known each other at that point.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of things that we were saying, and I can't remember what we were saying, but it was we'd obviously known each other for a while. So I'd obviously been pestering you to do it for a long time.
Had we known each other for a while?
At least 6 months, maybe longer, a year.
But when you say know each other, what did you mean by know each other? Because I don't remember. I would say the only time I actually really started to get to know you was on these live streams.
But that's the thing. We were texting a lot before that, I think.
Yeah. There wasn't the chemistry through texting, though, was there?
The chemistry in texting, just not on the stream. So, but anyway, the first thing, show us your micro reef tank. I had it's from Orlive. I had a tiny little one, a 1 liter reef tank for those Mahano anemones, but that was terrible. I hated it. Well, I didn't.
What happened to that?
It got thrown in the bin where it belongs. Yeah.
I remember I'm sure there's a video on your Instagram or something of happened to that.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, I don't have that anymore. And they're an absolute nightmare. And I was keeping a Mahano anemone in it, like a bomb proof animal. And it was always shriveled. And don't do it. Anyway, sorry, you look like you're about to burst into action.
No, something's bothering me, but I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure if it's the light or something's different, it feels like, today, but it's fine.
On one of your pictures behind you, there's a bright spotlight that I don't normally see.
That's the light in front of me. I think it's just, I don't know. Let me go turn the other light on, see if it makes a difference.
All right, well, whilst he's doing that, let me see if anybody's got any questions in the chat. I don't think so. I think it's just everybody saying hello. It is. You're back.
It didn't take long, did it?
You're better.
Yeah, I think so.
Good. What was I going to say? So, right. There's a couple of things that we're going to talk about today. The main, if you just clicked on this, you've probably not watched 4 minutes, but if you just clicked on this to learn about DIY dosing supplements, we'll come on to that at some point.
Good luck.
There'll be a pinned comment somewhere in the comments below after the live stream with the start time for that. This is going to be 2 hours of live stream. We couldn't talk about this for the whole 2 hours if we wanted to, and that's not what this stream is anyway. So so we will come on to that. But before we do that, how's your week in reefing?
I have had not a good week in reefing this week. I wasn't sure how to I wasn't sure if to mention it, but I am going to mention it. So there'll be one fish which you'll have heard me mention more than any other fish on these live streams. I had being the key term, I had a purple tang for 17 and a half years, and it's gone missing. There is no body. I have no idea. I'm assuming because there's only two other small fish in the tank. There's no new fish has been added to that system. There's no disease. There's nothing like that. It has just disappeared. I feel like I would have more like closure if I had found a body. But I noticed it wasn't coming out to feed because the fish obviously spend a lot of time under the racks as well. And I just noticed it wasn't there. So that fish would have been 18 roughly, because usually when they're caught, they're between 6 months and a year old. So yeah, so that would have been 18, that fish. And although it's a long time for a fish, it feels like a, it's like a pet to me. It's been, think about everything that you've done in the last 17 and a half years. And I've had the fish that long.
Yeah.
Like no one has a fish that long. If you think, not many people, if you think about it.
So I was asking about, I was asking if that might be an old dying of old age thing, but I've looked it up. There's a website called aquariumsource.com. And this says a wild.
You're about to ruin this for me, aren't you? You're about to tell me that they live till they're like 70.
Kick you while you're down. A wild purple tang has a lifespan of 30 to 45 years. So it probably wasn't that.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that every fish lives.
How many purple tangs are swimming around the wild for 30 to 45 years and not being eaten?
Tang. It's crazy. Marine biologists can track their lifespan because, like human fingerprints, each tang has a unique pattern formed by its black dots. I didn't know that.
Interesting. What, do they get like an extra new dot per year or something?
I mean, you'd have to look closely to notice the dots, wouldn't you? But
yeah.
And this is good. Purple tangs in captivity can live up to 10 years with the proper care and optimal tank conditions.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. As I said, so that the fish was, it never grew to its full size, because I have another purple tang, which is like two or three times the size of it, like maybe double the size, but like three times the weight. But I don't know. I just, yeah, that it. Look, I've been in this hobby a long time. I've lost fish before. I lost fish with the tank breakdown, but I think because it was that one, it hurt. My next oldest fish, I think, is the clownfish I hate. The one that bites me, which even today, for some reason, has never done this before, started boiling the copper band in the tank. I just noticed. I'm like, I'm going to have to get you out because I don't, like, you're too much trouble.
Oh, in the water box?
No, it's in the, so I never went into the water box.
Right.
Because I didn't want to put my hands in there and get bitten. So it's still in the tank closest to the door. But yeah, it's bullying the copper band. It's lived with that copper band for probably, I don't know, 2 years. All of a sudden, so I start bullying it.
So it's not in a coral tray, it's just in a tank?
No, it's in an actual tank, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I was going to say, because they're, when I've had clownfish get aggressive with other fish, they normally, it'll be if something swims past them, and then they might chase it for like 6 to 12 inches, but then when it's gone away, they just get bored.
No, this is not a big thing, is it? It wants to get everywhere. The whole tank has become its territory, basically. Even though it's not the dominant fish, there's fish in there which are much bigger than it is. For some reason, it's just like a pain in the ass.
I think I know that tank, and there's no rock work in there, is there?
No, there is a coral tray they can get underneath, but no.
Oh, okay. Because line of sight is a big thing, and as soon as, if a fish goes behind a rock, the clownfish is like, oh, where'd he go?
Yeah, that could be it.
But okay, so what are you gonna do with that? You're gonna take one of them out, or?
Well, I definitely would take the clownfish out. I'll probably put it into one of the other tanks, but the problem is, as I said, like I work a lot more in the other tanks, and that fish literally makes you bleed. So
really,
yeah. When it bites you, it makes
what
you bleed.
What kind of clown is it?
It's a percular clown. It's a black ice clown.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a normal one. It's not like a maroon. Yeah.
I've got two maroons. I took both of their homes away the other day because they were living in these massive. You call them catalophilias. Some people call them cataphilias.
Yeah.
But one or the other. You're like, those people are wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were living in those, and then someone bought both of them. So they then moved to a different home. They're now in the Gorgonian. But even when I was putting my hand into to take the corals out, they were completely fine. They're like, don't worry, you can take her home. We're good. Go near the other tank, it looks at you like, I'm going to get you.
Yeah. So, funny things, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know why they're so, like, because a lot of clowns aren't actually aggressive, but there's a lot of people that say their clown is.
And it's so a lot of people will say, oh, it's when they're breeding, but it's not always the case. So for a start, a great example, in my cade over my shoulder, the two clowns in there, I've never seen them lay eggs. I've never seen them do that in either of the tanks. And I've had them about a year. I had them in the fluval before, and they always bite me when they're tiny. So it doesn't hurt. It doesn't cut, it doesn't break the skin or whatever, but they always peck at me. and they never breed. And my main tank, until recently, my male died, but before that, the female is a big mama, and they've been in there for years, and they breed regularly or lay eggs regularly. And I can take the zoa out, which is their home that they lay eggs on,
and they're fine.
Take it out to frag it, and they're like, "That's okay. Bring it back when you're done with it, mate."
it's really strange. It's just because she was fine for probably 12 years. I'd have to work. There'll be a picture on somewhere when I first got her, so to work out how long I've had her. But I'm pretty sure it's like 12 years or something. She was completely fine until I put a tiny male maroon clownfish with her. And that was it. It was like war.
Right. Were they okay with each other?
Yeah, they were fine with each other. It was like the maroon taught her how to be a thug.
You know you can bite him when he puts his hand in, don't you?
She literally bites, holds on, and if you pull your hand out of the tank, she'll come with you.
Really?
Yeah, that's what she's like. And that's
I don't care if I die.
That has happened twice.
Okay.
So I don't play with her anymore because like there was one time when she flew and landed on top of the RO barrel, and I thought if she'd gone like a further inch down the side, she'd be gone.
Gone, yeah.
So I don't mess around anymore.
That's funny because the two in my cage who do bite me, they as soon as I put my hand in, they're like, he's attacking us, bite him. And then if I've got my hand in for more than 10 seconds, they're like, oh, okay, he's not going to do anything, and they leave me alone. But it's just annoying.
She's not like that.
No. Even when they don't hurt, it's annoying. So when they actually proper bite you.
As I said, she literally leaves a little circular bite mark on your is bleeding. And she'll just keep going until you leave.
Okay. Nasty.
So that's the first negative thing. I went to the coral wholesaler this week, so I got some goniastrias and favias, which I like, big colonies, which I will be fragging up soon, and I'll probably be fragging up at some point this week, and then I'll take pictures and put on the website.
What kind of goniastria? I didn't realize what they were.
What type? I got one of them's like gold, one of them's yellow, one of them, similar to those.
Okay. They're quite nice.
Yeah, they are. They are a nice one.
Oh, I've got one of these, the goniastria, and I thought it was a war coral.
So war corals are favites.
Yeah, favites. I thought that to me looks like a favites, whereas this looks like a goniastria.
It's too small on my screen to be able to see what it is. Okay. But, the difference is the wall between them. So some of them have a single wall, some of them have two walls, and obviously favites are completely different. They're much smaller.
I think mine is a favites. It looks different to that. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah,
they're nice.
I just saw a picture of one I got. Don't know, can't remember. But so I got some of those. They're one of the corals which it's fine fragging them. You literally just have to. You can't frag them really without a saw, because you have to cut down each of the individual polyps. But I actually find that quite satisfying. Because if you can go slow and take your time, and you can get literally each individual one, and they do survive really well, providing you dip them in iodine, because iodine obviously kills off any like bacteria or anything from
it's
the soil.
Antiseptic, isn't it?
Yeah. And they generally do pretty well. So, and they're also they're a popular seller. So they will be on the website probably. They take a little while to heal, so it'll probably be a few weeks basically.
Okay.
So
interesting. Yeah, I'll look out for them. UKM120 says he has a starry blenny that pecks his hand. Mine does the same. It's funny. I find it weird that a blenny bites you, but
The cleaner shrimp also come in, but they're more like tickle.
Yeah. That's just funny.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to think what else. You're like this because I never ever wanted one before. I picked myself up a scarlet hawkfish.
Yes. Oh, I've never
wanted one, and I just thought, I've had loads of fish. Like, I've had all the tangs, everything. I just thought, what fish have I not had? Scarlet hawkfish. So I got one of those.
Where's he going?
He's going in the water box. So he's currently in quarantine. And I also picked up a yellow banded possum wrasse because possum wrasse are awesome. They're one of the they're very secretive. They come in three different varieties, although the yellow band one seems to be the most common one. And they're like these little, like chunky, like they're just, they're like, most rats are quite thin. They're like little chunky ones.
Okay. They're good for pests, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. They're great for pests. So those Melanaris and the yellow and silver belly rats are the best ones for pests. So I usually, and they all eat different things. So I usually have a group of them.
Yeah, okay.
And the reason I'm putting the rats in is because if I'm going to start putting corals in it properly, I want the rats in there first, just in case anything slips through. Same as having tangs in there before algae starts growing. And the water box is actually growing algae now. I can confirm that it's growing algae. Because the stuff on the glass is green. I left it. I thought I'd leave it for a week, see what color it is. So like when it's thicker and it's actually properly green. And it, so it's not, it doesn't come off very easy. You know, like the hard.
Yeah.
So it's definitely doing what it's meant to be doing. It's like it reset the tank, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So your diatom days are over.
I wouldn't say they're over, because there is like a little smattering of them, but like the absolute brown covering of everything. Yeah,
that's good. Having a few diatoms is good. Having your tank solid packed full of diatoms is bad.
It's not on the rock. It's only on the sand. And I literally don't care about it. I think I got so used to having loads of them. Having a little bit is like nothing. So I've now turned two of the lights on. So I've got each, one light on either end is on. And the difference when you turn the light on, when you first turn on, that sand is like pristine, absolutely white. So the other side stands out a lot more now.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, that's about it, probably. What about you?
Someone said, just winding back, someone said, and it's probably too soon now, but they suggested you get a Yerpeltang to replace your purple.
I saw that. Yerpeltangs are like very expensive. I think they're like, I don't know, £7,000 to £10,000 or something from a shop. Yeah. So
they're not that special.
not just that, anyway. It's like they're not very nice.
No.
As far as I'm concerned, they're not, they don't do it for me.
If they were £20, no one would buy them.
I would say, arguably, they are uglier than a Scopas tang.
Ooh, that's an insult.
Small Scopas tangs can have really nice patterns on them, and it's the older brown ones which are not as nice. But yeah, no, I would say I prefer a Scopas tang. Maybe not.
Okay.
I have low. Let's put it this way. I have low expectations. A Scopas tang. So yeah. Whereas I have high expectations of a fish that costs £8 to £10.
Yeah, exactly. But then if it became the way a Yerpeltang should do, with bright yellow top and bottom fins and purple body.
Should do.
Yeah, because it's, you know, well, I say should do, you know. The way you want it to.
Yes.
Then wicked, but it doesn't look like that's gonna happen.
No. And I think someone will buy them, just not me.
There was actually there was an Instagram account called Yerpel22 or something.
Yeah, I follow it.
Yeah, that was the let me see if I can find it. Here it is, Jake the Yerpeltang. And he posts fairly regular videos. Oh, do you know what? I don't know if this is just like the camera brightness turned up or something, but he looks all right.
No, I'm sorry, but that is still not if it was a proper bright, I mean, to be fair, it is actually nicer.
Like the fins are looking good. The body is nowhere near as deep as a purple, but he looks quite well. He looks quite big there, so he doesn't look like he's matured into his colors, is what I'm saying. But
it is nice. Let me clarify that. It is nicer than the one I've seen, which is basically just like see-through colored and white. And but if it was had a proper purple body, absolutely, it'd be worth the money. It'd be worth more money.
It would be more understandable. Still, yes. £10,000 for a fish is crazy.
Yes.
Quick interjection from Woody's Game Tag Super Chat. Host chat, new pair of Radiant Riasses. Name ideas. Right. Guys, we need your help.
Terence and Matilda. There you go. All of my fish are named after people. So my purple tang was called Lola. The king eye is Gabriel. That was the one rule I've had since day one. My very first fish was called Dave.
Dave, that's a solid name.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Name ideas in the chat, please. Best answer wins 10 points.
Points are worth nothing.
They're worth absolutely sod all. Terrence and Matilda then. Or how about Alex and Ryan?
You want a couple of Radiant Rest named after us, do you?
Alexa and Ryan. Oops, sorry for everybody who's Alexa's just gone off.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see what people come up with.
Can you get Alexa's to subscribe to YouTube channels?
No, I don't think so.
How good would that be?
Exactly, yeah. Although, you know, if you're watching this, you're probably subscribed. If you're not, you know what to do.
That's true. That's true.
A super chat, but it's not really a chat, from Phoenix King, $1.99. Thank you very much. Post a question or whatever if you want, and we will answer. So you asked me what my week in reefing has been doing. So, hang on one sec. David Krasevsky, I'm sat here setting up a Red Sea Dota and I hate them. I think mine's wicked. I really like it.
Because they have really, really good reviews.
I love it. It's really solid. It's cleverly thought through. Yeah. There are a couple of things I didn't like about it, but generally, I think it's really good.
I got to release the first, I think I was first, maybe not. I think I did, though, the first like showing of Red Sea's new products. It was at Interzoo. They took me to Interzoo to show specifically their products.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
And there was a party in the evening, and everyone went to it except me, because back then I actually cared about the YouTube. I cared about putting the videos out. Yeah. So I filmed all day, went back to the hotel, made the video and posted it immediately. And then the next morning everyone was like, you did that so fast. And I'm like, yeah, I wanted to be the first one to get this out.
But you know, so the thing is, there's value in that. And this is one thing I don't think manufacturers, or most manufacturers, don't understand, is that if you want it, product reviews don't really do very well in YouTube generally anyway, or for small channels they do, for bigger channels they don't. So they don't do that well. But if you get it up front and you get first mover advantage, that's really good. And I've had that before. Red Sea gave me a bottle of Reef Energy for 3 months before it came out.
Yeah.
And so I could make a proper video about it. There's real value in that. But if they just throw your product a month after it's come out, the hype's died down. So it's much better to do it beforehand, because your YouTubers will be more interested in it.
I loved it when I first saw it, because they literally had scales and you could type in how much you wanted and it would dose it. And then the number on the scale would go up. So you could see exactly that it was working like precisely. So that I thought it was very, very well done how they'd done it.
Hmm.
So, but I've never actually used one myself. So,
I'm using it on the Cade, but it's kind of set and forget for me, to be honest. But Josh Weaver, super chat, $4.99, says, Alex, I'm setting up a new innovative marine 100 gallon. Would love for you to make multiple videos of your new tank setup, though, so I can follow along. Oh, don't worry, I'm going to be doing that. It's funny, we don't really get innovative marine over here. You can buy them, but I think I've only ever seen them at Charterhouse, and then almost always sold out. But anyway, I'll be making loads of videos about that. I say that it will depend how well it goes. Because if I make the videos, there's two or three videos that I will definitely make. Maybe even half a dozen that I will definitely make when I set it up. But if nobody watches those videos and they get like 5 or 10,000 views, I won't bother carrying
on. Nobody. 5 or 10,000 of you are nobodies, Alex.
No, you know what I mean. But so like if a video for me does less than 10,000, that tells me it's not very popular. And there's no point in me making videos that aren't very popular. That's part of the reason I do the Reef Talk Extra channel. Yeah. But if people want to watch it, which I think they probably will, then I'll make more. So, but there's probably half a dozen I'll make, setting it up. Get it, like I've already thinking that like the day I actually get the tank, I'm just going to make a video of the tank when it's empty, nothing in it, because it'll look. I look back at my first ever video of my Peninsula 500, and it looks so nice day one.
you want to film it being moved in as well, because that's when it's most stressful.
I don't think I do. I'm going to get Sean, if you're watching, I'm going to get Sean from Successful Aquariums, who's a maintenance company, to help me move it. I'll give you a shout at some point, but I need to employ him because they're just leading that on my own.
Is this Acroman, Sean?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay, I didn't know it was the new name of his company.
Yeah. So I'll be using Sean, because I need someone there who knows what they're doing.
You need if it's a 6-foot tank and it's got a double base, You'll need six people there, probably, because that's double how much.
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah,
that's how many people we need to move the water box. And I think one of them didn't turn up, so I think we had to do it with five.
Okay,
and it was not easy. It was touch and go, and also the cabinet's really high as well, so you're lifting it like this.
It's funny because there were just two, for my Peninsula 500, which is a 4 foot 2 inches long by 2 foot by 2 foot. Tank. All right, single layer of glass at the bottom, but that was there were just two of us, me and my mate. It was okay. It wasn't easy, but we did it fine.
You've never had a 6 foot tank before, have you?
6 foot is different. No, I haven't.
You have no idea how heavy that is. I strongly recommend that the day that turns up, you have six people there.
Because I've been working on the basis that four should do it, but a few people have said online you might need more.
Yeah, so. I think you'll need more.
Okay.
If it's the same weight as this one and the stand is a similar height, you'll need more.
I'll get.
Plus, I've seen you on Little Nude Loves. you might as well not be there.
I know, exactly. Yeah. I need six men and me to video it, basically.
Yeah, true.
Can you explain double bass? Boot, 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 boot.
I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, double bass is two panes of glass for additional strength, right?
Yes, they basically just put one pane on top of another. I'm not sure why it makes a difference, but it obviously does. Like
it's structural. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
And
you would think there being one inch higher or whatever wouldn't make that much difference, but it obviously does.
Yeah. And another super chat. Super chats, ahoy. Sky Crusader says, Alex, is the Hannah Magnesium caddy coming soon? That's from reefdoc.etsy.com, where you can buy all sorts of 3D printed magic. No, I don't think I'm ever going to make that because I don't like that. The kits I make for the test kits the caddies I make for the test kits that I think are really good and that I like. And I don't like the magnesium one. And actually, I'm not 100% sold. I talked about the calcium one before. I'm not 100% sold on it. And I think it's fine. But I think the Salafert one, which is much cheaper, is better than the Hannah one. With the phosphate and nitrate for Hannah, they are the best on the market and they're worth the money.
Yeah.
The calcium one, I think the Salafert, I would rather use the Salafert.
Personally. Yeah, me too.
And the magnesium one, I don't think I'm afraid that I'll make one of these. I don't own the checker. I could buy it to make the caddy, but I'd rather, I don't know. I don't just want to have caddies for everything on the market. I want to have it for stuff that's good. I don't really know why. It doesn't make any sense, but it makes sense to me. Six Alex's, four big mans.
I thought you were going to say Ryan. Read the one before that where it says Ryan is weak. Two strong people carry a 6 foot tank. You need to be well strong to be two people to carry it. And secondly, Ryan's actually well smart because he was just pretending to carry it.
I think that. I looked them up. They're about 200 to 300 kilos. Just the glass, just the tank.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. if you ever tried to carry a 25 kilo barrel of salt from the shop to your car.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, try doing that with a few more kilos.
Yeah. Okay, cool. What else? Jamie's, okay, we've already got volunteers coming.
Good actually, point. Jamie, I think, moved mine. I think, or did he not? I can't remember.
I've had a few offers, so.
Oh well, I'll look after the fish. I'm protecting my back. I've moved too many tanks.
Yeah. Okay. I'll move on in a sec. But Woody's Game Tag says, "I appreciate your early critical opinions of 52 weeks of Reefing SE. How do you feel about it now that more episodes are out?" I still love BRS. I should be very clear. Although I've been critical at times, I still love BRS and I love Ryan. But I've kind of
just said you love me, do you? So
no, not you. Ryan
Bacala. Then you wanted to name two fish after us, and now you just said I love Ryan.
Guys, going
this,
well.
This stream is going like in a very different route to usual.
Freudian slips here. No, Ryan Bachelor. I love Ryan. He's brilliant. But I've kind of lost interest in it, and I don't understand it. Is the main thing because it's what's this?
I'm gonna get that clip of you saying I love Ryan. He's brilliant.
Okay,
and then you're post that on Instagram.
But I've kind of lost interest in 52 weeks of reefing. I still watch the videos, but I don't understand it because, like, the first time round, literally every week it was week one, week two, week three. What are you doing? You've seen the timestamp.
of the time, yeah, so that I can, you know, find that later.
Yeah. But it's first time around, it was week one, week two, week three, and it was skimmers, then phosphate reactors and refugiums and all that. It was brilliant. Whereas this time around, I don't understand it. Like, they did one the other day that was 52 weeks of reefing skimmer edition, and then there's like five videos on skimmers. And I'm like, hang on, is this week 10 or week 20, or is this week 20 subsection A? Or so I don't really understand it.
All we need to know, have the chromis been eaten? That's all I care about.
But so that's the thing, is I still want it to be as good as it was going to be in my head. But what I really want, I think I can forget that, because it's they're going down a different route.
Yeah.
But which is fine, and they should do what they want. But I want updates on the tanks. I think that's a bit I'm looking forward to. You want it because you want to know if the fish are going to be eaten by the
group. That's the only thing that I want. I actually don't care about a single other tank that they have done. The Chromis one is the only one I find interesting.
Interesting.
And it's probably, I reckon there'll be loads of people that are the same.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if those Chromis lasted 5 seconds.
Well, so, let's just say some of them will last 5 seconds and they claim they're going to take the fish out. But yeah, you've got to be pretty quick if you've only got 5 seconds.
Yeah. Woody's Gaming tagging his wife are waiting for that grouper update too.
If you think about it, the grouper's in first. They didn't put the Chromis in first, let them find hiding spaces and things like that. They put the grouper in first.
Yeah, yeah. And Dangle says they've been super inconsistent with their releases too. Yeah, that's the thing. So one of the best things about 52 weeks of reefing first time around was every week you were guaranteed the same time, a progression that made sense as well. So it was week one was skimmers, and then week two was refugiums, and then it moves on to corals and fish and all that. So it all made sense. It doesn't make sense to me anyway. But I still watch most of their videos.
I didn't even know they were still putting them out. I know they will put them out, but I don't remember when the last one was.
I think it was Friday, actually. It was about skimmers again this week. But it wasn't, anyway, whatever. It's not what I thought it was going to be, and it's not really my thing. It doesn't mean it's bad. I just think it's not what I had in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And also they said at the start they were going to do live stream updates once a month or something.
Yeah.
And where they go into a deep dive on the tanks. And I love those videos where Ryan talks for like an hour. There's no script. There's no filter.
One second. Shut up. I love those videos where Ryan talks for an hour. Yep.
But they've not done that, which is a shame. But the only thing I'll say is that Ryan Batchelor makes like a billion videos. He must be, I think that, I wonder if there's like four of him, because he does so much stuff and he's doing all sorts of other things in the background. He's a speaker at Coral Show this year and all this, and so it must be. And he there used to be him and Randy, of course.
Yeah.
Randy's not around anymore, so I'm sure he has people helping him. But I bet he does the bulk of the work. So, you know, but anyway, those are my thoughts. Those are my.
Anyway, how do you feel about Ryan?
Ryan Batchelor is a legend.
Yeah.
Ryan Batchelor is a legend. There you go. I said it quick.
I should have cut that Batchelor bit out saying Ryan is a legend.
Yeah, Ryan Batchelor. anyway, what else have I been? Oh, yeah, so I've been breaking the tank down, of course. Been breaking my tank down, and I thought I had in mind, it's almost completely done now. I think another week and it'll be gone, all the corals anyway. I had in mind that this was going to be an absolute nightmare. Last time I broke down a tank 7 years ago, something like that, it was a right pain, and I had like a million different people turn up. I had to keep spreadsheets of who was buying what, who'd paid and who hadn't paid, what time people were coming and all this, and there, it was just loads. Whereas this time around, it's been nowhere near as stressful as I thought it was.
You realize you just described my life, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. But this is your full-time job. This was true. Last time I was doing it, this was after work and all that. And this time around, I've had a lot of people have bought several corals, so I've had bulk buys.
Yeah,
but it's been pretty relaxing. Everything's gone quite quickly. I've met some really nice people. I've got to talk about fish and corals, which obviously I like doing. And I've had no. Oh, I was going to say I've had no losses. I did have one loss. I had a tenuous colony that was doing really fine, doing well, really good. I broke it off the rock to sell it. I chipped the rock away with a hammer, but I didn't break the coral.
Yeah.
And like the day after, it lost half its color and it looked pissed off. I was like, oh god. And then the week later, it started stripping and like all the flesh was peeling off. So I threw it away. But that's tenuous for you.
And people wonder why I stay away from those corals. It's just not worth it.
No. And tenuous have been the worst coral for me in that tank. Yeah. Every single tenuous I've had. That's not true. I sold one tenuous today that was, it had got shaded. Like the tip had got shaded. But apart from that, the base looked really nice and colourful. And it was generally, that was the one coral, the one tenuous that's been nice. All of my other tenuous have, and to be fair, the one that stripped the other day, I've had that 3 years. But every single one of them,
it's a long time for it to just randomly strip.
But every other tenuous has given me problems and has stripped and died. So I'm not clever enough for tenuous. Aquaporia bifaria now.
Oh, there you
been
go.
Reclassified. Yeah. What was I going to say? Is Ryan speaking at Aqua H?
Which Ryan?
Yeah.
Because if it's me, then no.
Ryan Marchant. I'm guessing they won't ship Ryan Batchelor over for Aqua H.
Yeah.
Although if you haven't bought your tickets since September, make sure you buy them. Me and Ryan will be there, and we'll be going for a drink afterwards at the pub, which you're welcome to join.
Please come. I don't feel safe being around Alex now.
I know. Anyway, so the tank breakdown is almost complete, and I've got at the end of the month we're going to do redecorating, so the tank has to be gone by then. Ideally it'll be gone in 2 weeks time. And then I don't think I'm going to sell the tank. I think I'm going to take it to the tip. I think I'm going to cut all the silicone out, cut the glass panels off and throw it away.
Why?
Because I think on day one when I bought that tank, I cracked the weir box.
Yeah.
Now I fixed it by putting a pane of glass over it, and it's completely fine. It doesn't affect the tank at all. But no one will want a tank with a cracked weir box.
Why not?
Because if you were buying a fish tank.
What I'm saying is I would literally put it on it on eBay for £1 saying this is a fish tank. It is because if you cut it up, you're going to make no money. But if you put it on eBay for £1, someone will take your problem away for you.
But what I don't want. So the thing is, I could probably get a couple hundred quid. It's a 6-year-old tank as well. And 6-year-old tanks, I mean, it's fine. But it's the sort of thing that if you're buying a tank secondhand, a year or two old is the sweet spot, and there are loads as well.
Yeah.
So just do people want? I might be able to get a couple hundred quid for it, but I can either do that and go through the hassle of, because a big tank, which is a niche purchase, not many people around, and then someone to have to hire a van and then have to arrange to come down, and it might roll over and take too long, or I can sacrifice 200 quid, which is a painful hit, but nonetheless, I can sacrifice that, do it all on my own time scale, and just get rid of it.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pain in the ass
to take it apart.
I don't mind that.
Oh,
because actually, when I've taken baffles out of the glass, silicone is weird. Like all you need to do is cut, run a razor down the silicone, and on the main tank, the silicone is thick, so it's really easy, and it just comes apart.
Les wants to buy it from you. He said £200 done.
£200.
He wants you to sign it though, because you're famous.
Well, it's also got a 1-inch scratch on it. But okay, if you're up for it, then we'll sort something out. He's got a van, as well, he says. But
Les actually genuinely does want it. There you go. See?
There you go. All right. Well, job done. Fine. Cool. All right. Well, I'm not going to do that then. And I've got a load of frags. Oh, Les, text me. I meant to. I saw your Ultimate Reef, but I don't think I've got your number saved. So text me and we'll sort out the corals as well, because I've got some frags for you. And I've got another frag as well that I didn't have before. That's nice. So there we go. The other thing I bought a Bubble King. Did I tell you I bought a Bubble King skimmer?
Skimmer, no.
No. So skimmer. I've always wanted one, and they're quite expensive. But because I've sold a few corals, I need to spend that money. Otherwise, I'm going to have to pay tax on it.
So
I might as well. However, I emailed Bubble King, Royal Exclusive, and I said, look, this is the one I'm looking at. This is the tank I'll have. This is roughly how many fish I'll have in it. This is the other filtration I will have in the tank. What size skimmer should I get? And they said, and one of the things I said is, I said I'll have a Red Sea Reef Mat, a filter roller. And they said, from our view, and I'm quoting this, from our view and with our filters, the bio load is almost cut in half with a roller filter. Now that's them talking specifically about the Royal Exclusive roller filter.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I don't know what micron they use or whatever, but it was that was the, what the, what I took from that is they were saying and they told me to downsize it. And they were saying that they think roller filters are extremely effective, which was interesting.
Yeah. No, I've heard that before. And I think they do make a big difference as well. That's why everyone struggles having nutrients these days.
This is very true.
17 years ago or 18 years ago. No, it will be 17. Like, that wasn't like that wasn't a thing. Like, you could not get your nutrients down. So having them. Yeah. It's gone vastly the opposite way.
Yeah, yeah. But then, like, what's the book? The Conscientious Marine Aquarist by Bob Fenner.
Yeah.
The late, great Robert Fenner. I've not read it for a long time, but it was Berlin method. So it was like 90% of your tank is filled with rocks and all, and a skimmer and all this sort of stuff. Quite basic. And I think times have changed a little bit since then, but actually a lot of what is in there is still valid today. But
I like his theory behind things. He explained one of the things that stood out to me, and I was that he said these fish are not weak fish. These fish have to go through a long process to get here, and these are the survivors. So these are actually, so look after them, basically, is what he said. I'm sure I used that in a video at one point.
Okay.
So I'm not sure his exact quote, or I may have taken his quote and added to it when I said look after them. I might put that on myself, but yeah, it was something along those lines. And yeah. I just thought, it's so true, because everyone goes, oh, these fish are not, they're not like very hardy because they're marine fish compared to freshwater fish. And there is some truth in that. But the reality is, this has been like, they've been through a lot to get to us.
And the reef is an extremely competitive environment.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to have to reread that book. But if you've not heard of it before and you're looking for a book on reef keeping, The Conscientious Marine Aquarist by Dr. Robert Fenner is like the seminal book. It's old. It's probably 20 years old now, maybe even older.
Yeah.
But it's I bet it's still a good read. I'm going to read it again.
Yeah.
Jacob Cluster, another super chat, says thanks for the information. You are welcome. What is that? A camera? No, it's a gun. He's gone. But what else was I going to say? Okay, and that's basically my weekend reefing has been breaking down. It's weird. I didn't go to the fish shop this weekend or last weekend.
That is weird for you.
I know, yeah. Normally, I've been like four times in that. Or did I? I think I might have gone last weekend, but I definitely didn't go this weekend.
Why didn't you have interest?
I have nothing to... I'm not looking to buy. Oh, yeah, my water box tank is literally... There is no space for any more corals, to the point that the ones I'm going to keep for my main tank are going on the sand bed.
Yeah.
Sanded is bare bottom, but so I don't want any corals now, because if I'm going to buy it be for the new tank, I don't need anything from shops, so all I need is fish food, and I have fish food. So
welcome to my life. It's boring at the weekend now, isn't it?
This weekend was great. So no,
you've just realized that you don't actually like the hobby that much.
I know, yeah. Well, so it was sunny today, so I got to get out on my bike, which I've not done for a long time properly. Yeah. So that's good. But yeah, I am looking forward to getting rid of the tank, actually. A couple of people have asked if I'm sad about it. And honestly, I'm not. Like, it was... I loved it, and it was wicked. But I don't feel like that pain of breaking it down and think, oh, God, this is the end of an era. It kind of is, but I'm not bummed out about it.
You'll be bummed out when you start the new one. You're like, yeah, this is my card, and I remember.
Yeah, exactly. But I think maybe that's it, is because I'm quite excited about the new tank. And the new tank is just the tank itself, which I said on Ultimate Reef what I'm going for, but I won't say just yet on YouTube.
Yeah.
But it's such a nice tank.
It's six foot.
6 foot.
I remember I was there for that negotiation. You remember when that tank goes in and it's a problem and it's really heavy.
You were. Yeah, you are responsible for persuading my wife to go bigger.
Yep. And she was like, I can't remember exactly what happened, but I was like, yeah, you need a 6 foot tank. She's like, yeah, that's fine. I'm like, and you're like, what? That's never been said before.
Exactly. But it's all good now. 45 minutes. How about we start talking about DIY dosing stuff?
Can do.
So with this, there's a couple of things to say first, straight off the bat, right? So we're going to talk about, so you DIY your own dosing supplements for most stuff. And as in, you don't buy off the shelf, you buy the chemicals and you mix them up yourself. So this is the thumbnail, by the way. I think I said the magnesium bottle is £30, which I think it is, and the magnesium DIY flakes is 30 pence. They're not exact numbers. I didn't work it out, but it is, so I don't know how much cheaper it is.
Everyone's going to be contacting you going, where can I get that 30 pence magnesium?
But it is a lot cheaper. So when I had to bump my magnesium up recently, and I bought two bottles of Red Sea and one bottle of Reef's Elements magnesium. It cost me the thick end of £100, and it's still on two tanks. It's all of that wasn't enough to get my magnesium up. So I then bought the DIY stuff, and that eventually pushed me over the edge. But I would have had to, I don't know how much money I would have had to spend, but yeah. I saved a lot doing it this way.
Yeah, magnesium does take a lot to push that. It also drops very slowly as well.
That's the thing, yeah. So I just neglected it. Sky Crusader interjecting. What's your thoughts on taking an old tank and dropping straight into a larger tank, all the cycled rock and media going in? So that's kind of what I'm going to be doing. I've done that several times. Yeah. So when I set up, I didn't do it with my current tank, but I did move some of the live rock across. I always, whenever I set up a new tank, I add bottled bacteria, but I always put a piece of established live rock, either from another tank I've got or from my local fish shop. I always put it in as well. And I plan with this tank, I've got my water box, which is a 2-foot tank. I plan on taking, it's just a one-piece aquascape. I plan on taking that out and putting it in the new 6-foot tank. Obviously, there'll be more rock going in. Yeah. I'm a little apprehensive about that, because I've got some really nice corals on there as much as anything, but I will be doing that at some point. So it's, I don't think there's any harm in doing that. And I think it is a good idea if you do it right, but no matter what you do, the first 6 months of a reef tank, parameters are up and down. It's, and you had diatoms out, things can go pear shaped.
Yeah.
So it is, there are risks.
I think there's less of a risk when you're moving an old tank into a new, that's what I found anyway. You are upsetting the system, but I literally moved a 1,000-liter tank from one house to another. It took literally 24 hours of staying awake the entire time, and I lost one fish, and it was a little tiny goby. Was all I lost. All the corals were fine, all the fish were fine. But you got to know what you're doing if you're going to do it like that.
My first ever tank, I moved to my second ever tank,
yeah,
and that was all fine. I can't remember it. It was a long time ago now, but that nothing went wrong.
There is a lot more trouble with sterile tanks, I've realized, than how people did it previously. 100%. So if like, let's put it this way, if live rock was available still and it came with no pests, that's the best way to go.
Yeah. But so by moving across rock from an existing tank, is you get around that to a degree.
Yes.
Yeah. My reservation on this is that it's rocking a 2-foot tank that's going to a 6-foot tank, so it's I don't know. They're still, and I'm going to be putting new sand in and all this sort of stuff. But I think I'm going to do that. I think I am going to do that. And I would turn your lights down for a few months, really low, because otherwise you get all sorts of because there's no biofilm or whatever built up in your tank. Yeah. Suddenly it's a free for all. So I would turn the lights down to start with.
Yeah,
or I will turn the life down for start with.
The most important thing is to make sure there's nutrients in the tank as well. Like, don't just move them over on day one and go, "Oh, this is nice and clean," because the corals won't. You think you're doing the right thing, but they won't like it.
No, so you dosed nitrate and phosphate when you set up your coral farm, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Just to bring the levels up, and if I had, I think. I can't remember, as I said, I try not to say things incorrectly because someone will go, "I watched your video. That's not how it happened." But remember, it's just my memory. But I remember some Montipora stripping, and I think that might be why I started dosing, maybe, or dosing more. I can't remember. But they did not like it when they didn't like it when there was like very, very little nutrients. And the nutrients get taken up really quickly as well.
Yeah, okay.
When there's nothing else, because there's nothing decaying either.
No, this is very true. So test quite a lot is what you
think. Yes, yeah.
And so Sky Crusader is moving from a 425, Red Sea Reef 425 XL, which is 4x2x2, roughly, a bit smaller, to a 270 LX, which is your tank, 6x2.5x2.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be all right. you've again test as much as you can, like literally every day if you can do, for a few weeks. But yeah,
it seems like a pain in the ass to do it every day. But if you think about the cost of like one coral with an average price of like 20-30 quid, like you can very quickly start losing stuff.
And even beyond that, so avoiding problems is a lot quicker than fixing problems. True. So if things go wrong, if you get dinos, you've got 3 months of pain ahead of you. Whereas if you just sort it and avoid that to start with, it takes a bit of time, but it takes a lot less time than fixing it. So,
yeah.
Anyway, what was I going to say? Dosing, Ryan.
We're talking about DIY dosing. We're about to start dosing.
I'm going to update the timestamp to 51 minutes. Right, Ryan, DIY dosing. What do you need to know? First off, there's a health warning about this is not for beginners.
Yes. So the first thing I wanted to, and I say this to people when I do the consultations, because some people do ask about this occasionally. If you're a beginner, it's far better to buy something off the shelf with a little picture of fish on it. It is more expensive, but the reason it's worth doing is because you know that that is 100% correct. So if you have a problem with your tank, you know that it's not going to be that. Whereas if you're making your own dosing stuff, you could do it wrong, or you could get a bad batch or something like that. I don't know. I've never had a bad batch, and they're all. I'll explain in a second, but
you could easily mix it up wrong.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that people don't go all of a sudden go and do this. If you see what I mean. Yeah. Now, I didn't make this recipe. This is actually very well known. You can find it on the internet everywhere. But I have been using it probably for 14 years without any issues. So the first thing you need to do is you need to get a 5 liter.
I'm just gonna pause there for a sec, because when someone's giving advice, you should always look at their tank, right?
Wait, what tank are you going to show?
No, don't worry. And you're giving advice. This is how you do it on the farm.
Yes.
And now I can't remember where I've put my video of your farm. Is it in here?
Prestige. It was well worth you interrupting.
Yeah, I can't find it. I've got a load of clips of your farm, and it looks awesome, basically, is what I was going to say. So this is not just some numpty.
You can have a look on my Instagram if you want to get the Instagram up.
The point I'm making, this is not some numpty spouting off who doesn't know what they're talking about. You've had actually years of success, and it's not just someone saying, oh, I've had years of success. You actually have. Yeah. You run a coral farm, the best coral farm in the country. So
true. And I mean, I'm glad you point out that it is very important that you know who you're getting advice from. And I don't know everything, so don't don't trust me completely for absolutely everything. Do your own research. But I have been using this for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. So the first thing you need is a 5 liter jerry can. That's how I did it. Okay. And the reason you need 5 liters is because you have to make a 5 liter solution at a time. I suppose technically you could divide the things down, but 5 liters is is the best thing to do.
That's 1.32 gallons for our cousins across the pond.
I'm assuming you can get 1.32 gallon jerry cans as well.
Yeah.
Right, so for calcium, what the material that you need is calcium chloride dehydrate. I get all of this stuff from Interlabs, which is a UK website, but you can probably get them elsewhere around the world. In fact, you will be able to get them elsewhere around the world.
Interlabs is, they're like a bulk chemical company in the UK, aren't they?
Correct, yes. So that's the exact company I buy from.
Yeah.
Now, what you want when you're buying this, you want to see it says pharmaceutical grade. That's what you want, the highest possible grade you can get, and pharmaceutical grade is the highest. If you go, so it says on that screen there.
Oh no! So this one that I'm looking at here is food grade, 77%.
No. It says if you look up, it says quality, pharmaceutical grade, doesn't it? Just above where your mouse is.
Food/pharmaceutical. Okay.
Yeah. So that basically you want the pharmaceutical grade one. I'm assuming pharmaceutical and food must be the same when it comes to calcium then.
Maybe, yeah.
That doesn't sound right though, does it?
77% sounds low.
I was gonna say. But anyway, look, so we're telling you to do this, but we apparently don't know what we're doing.
This is exactly why you should approach with caution if you're new, because you could very easily buy, you could think, oh, I'm getting food grade. And actually, it's the 77% one that we're showing on this video is not the right one, and it should be 95 or whatever. And you end up pouring all sorts of rubbish into.
And some of the materials also have very similar name to other ones.
Right.
So there was a time once when I bought a load of something. I think it was magnesium chloride, but I bought magnesium chloride something rather than magnesium chloride hexahydrate. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm glad I didn't put this in. Anyway, so 5 liter container, you need 5 liters of RO water. You put 4 liters in first, because you always add the material to water, same as when you're mixing your salt. You always mix it first, put the water in first. It also make you can literally close the lid and then shake it up while it's got 4 liters in it. Now, calcium is really interesting because it has a chemical reaction, and it gets really, really hot.
Oh, cool. Exotherm.
Yes, that's correct. So when you use a lot of it, because obviously I use like kilos and kilos of it, yeah. It gets so hot that when you can put your hand in it, actually, like, it's like uncomfortable. That's how hot it gets. And it actually made me worried that I was going to melt the containers.
Okay.
It literally, you will fill the container of the 5 liter. It gets softer because of the heat. Wow.
I've just been scanning through the Intralabs website, and all of their calcium chloride is 77%. So it is that one.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so it gets hot.
Yes. The next thing you need to do, you need to add trace elements. Now, the trace elements that I use, and this is basically like roughly where this recipe comes from, is Fauna Marins. So they have a trace element 1 and 2, and that goes in the calcium. That goes in the calcium container.
Okay.
Now, I can't tell you what's in those trace elements. But those trace elements are, in theory, used at the same rate.
Is it these ones?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Fauna Marin trace elements 1, 2, 3.
Yes. Okay. So 1 and 2 go in the calcium, and then 3 goes in the alkalinity solution.
Okay.
I can't tell you what's in them, but I believe that the trace elements have been measured to the corals use them up at the same rate, in theory, mm-hmm. as the calcium consumption, which is why you put it in that container.
That's how Red Sea recommends you dose trace elements.
I've gone really light for some reason, and I don't know why, because I didn't change that.
Yeah, okay.
I'll have to just leave that. Oh, there you go.
This is another reason, by the way, why this is difficult for beginners, because it would be very easy to go out and, instead of buying Fauna Marin, you buy Tropic Marin or something.
Exactly.
The concentrations might be different, and so you might be dosing double.
Yes.
Anyway.
So that's why I said this is I didn't make this recipe. It's everywhere on the internet if you look hard enough. So that's the calcium sorted. But sorry, once you've got that 4 liter solution with the 25 mils of trace element 1 and trace element 2 in, you can then fill the rest of the container up so it makes 5 liters. So does that make sense?
Because you've got 4 liters of water. By the time you add a load of flakes, that'll take up to 4.5 liters in the container.
Correct.
Water.
Yes.
So then you top that off to the 5 liters with RODI. And correct. This is all RODI, by the way. No tap water malarkey.
So that's it for calcium. You're done. The water is a slight brown color. It's not.
How much do you, how much of the, I don't know if you said this, how much of the Tropic Marin trace, Fauna Marin trace elements do you
25
add?
25 milliliters of both.
Of both to the 5 liters?
Yes, to the 5 liter container, yeah.
And then you top it up after that to 5 liters, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
The next one, similar, but you need 3 5 liter containers for these. They're not very expensive. You might as well mix them all up at the same time. And the great thing is you can have I know TMC do a 5 liter container for the dosing solutions. So you can literally just pour the jerry can into it and then you're done.
Okay.
So you just fill up, or if you've got like a 1 liter one, you can fill up one at a time, or you can get an acrylic rod and actually put it into the, to the jerry can. You can put it into the jerry can and obviously make your own dosing container.
I'm going to interject with a quick hot tip on this one.
Okay. Yeah.
When you buy a 5 liter jerry can,
buy
an anti-glug jerry can.
Yes.
They are the best in this. I didn't know this existed until about 2 years ago. Because obviously when you empty a jerry can, it spills water everywhere and it's really difficult. anti-glide jerry cans are so good. They're like £2 more than a normal one. They're absolutely fantastic, and they don't, you can just pour them upside down and they don't splash everywhere. They just pour smoothly. They're fantastic. Anyway,
Chess just obviously mentioned as well that a container for food grade is also recommended as well. Yes.
But, yes, so there are, so it has to be, if anything, anything is suitable for food, it's suitable for reef. And LDPE and HDPE, low density polyurethane or ethylene, and high density poly, whatever it is, are the most common used materials.
I think we should clarify what you just said. Anything that's used for food, obviously any container, don't any go container, and start pouring like sugar
in your beef tank. Yeah. Yeah. Although you can put vodka in your beef
tank. And you can put sugar in as well.
Yeah, and vinegar. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, so anything, any container that is safe for food is safe for reef tank stuff.
Yes. Okay.
this reef tank stuff.
Yes. Just to, we have to clarify these things before someone comes and says I did this. The next solution is alkalinity. Alkalinity is the one which I
did you say how much calcium you add to the 4 liter of Rydo? You did, didn't you?
I think I did. 2 kilos.
2 kilos.
Oh, maybe I didn't. But yeah, it's 2 kilos of calcium chloride dehydrate.
Cool.
There you go. The next one is alkalinity. Same again. 5 liter container. Put 4 liters in.
What is this alkalinity?
So what is the
Interlabs?
What material? It's sodium bicarbonate.
Sodium bicarbonate.
Yes.
Which I'm going to demonstrate now. This is Intralabs sodium bicarbonate. Wow, you can get a ton of it.
I know. I buy like 25 kilos of it at a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And so how much is 25 kilos? £30. How long does that last you?
I can't remember, if I'm honest.
Months on end, I'm guessing.
I think that is what I need to fill up my like 140 liter container, something like that. Yeah, that's roughly right, I think.
6 months a year?
The container lasts about 6 months.
And that's on a coral farm packed full of corals.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So it's really, really cheap. Anyway, don't buy a ton of it just yet.
Yes, yeah, true. But you can see how cheap it is in comparison to buying it.
You can buy 1 kilogram for £5 a kilo, or you can buy 1,000 kilograms at £1 a kilo.
See, anyway. Alex knows this already, and I've not mentioned on here, but I actually don't care anymore because I signed a something saying I wouldn't. I applied to go on The Apprentice, and part of my business was this, basically trying to make, like, obviously it was to expand the coral farm, but it was also to make dosing solutions cheaper. Really? For people. And I actually wrote that out, and I actually, as I said, Alex knows this already, I got pretty far into
it. Really far.
I got because
so everyone, how many applicants were there in total? 200,000?
There's like 60,000 applicants, and 60, I think 000. I got down to like the last, yeah, well, I think it was between the last 180 and 300, somewhere between there. I think I got to, let's put it this way, I didn't make it into the last 70.
But it was, you were at the final stage when they were picking the last people to go on the show, basically.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't at that stage. I was at the stage where they had literally filmed me. They film you. The bit you see on the TV, like where they go, I'm great, this is how wonderful I am, they filmed that with a proper cameraman and a proper camera. But the interesting thing was you meet like the producers and you meet business people, like proper business people, and they were so interested. They were like, who owns a coral farm? That is so weird. And it was a really, really brilliant day for me. But the reason I mentioned it, as I said, was because part of that process, I literally went, why are people spending this much money when look at the cost of these products plus RO water? It's like, surely there could be a discounted brand that can do this for people. Mm. So that was part of my plan. Okay. So
one for the future then, maybe.
But I didn't get in, so it doesn't matter.
No.
But I actually will apply next year. I've decided I will do it again next year.
I would so love that if a coral farm was on the TV, basically. That would be so good for the hobby.
It was, yeah, I just...
Selfishly.
I just think, how did it get, like, not... How my theory was, coral farm is definitely worth something that they show on TV, even if they didn't think I'd win it, because it's so weird.
But to be fair, there was someone selling mugs, so
Not just get on TV like oh that is true, Steve. I didn't take that the wrong way. But yeah, that, like, I did plan to expand the business, which I will do anyway. Dragon's Den was the next one. I thought about that. I think I could get on Dragon's Den as well, because it's so weird.
Anyway.
Yes. There is one more TV show in the process, but that's a secret. So we'll
talk about that another time. So sodium bicarbonate. And why do you use this? Just because it's on this recipe. Okay.
Yes. So sodium bicarbonate. These can actually go directly in. If you need to raise your solutions up in your tank, you can actually put these directly, like mix them. You can make a concentrated solution. You don't have to dose them directly, if you see what I mean. But yes, so alkalinity, sodium bicarbonate, 500 grams for 5 liters.
Okay.
Exactly the same again. Four liters.
Do you know? So the stuff you buy from Intralabs.
Yes.
That's just the powdered form. Is it different intensities if you buy it from different shops? Do you know? Is it different?
I don't think so.
I guess it's just the raw material, but.
Yeah, I think it's just it's all the same, pretty much.
But to be safe, use Intralabs.
James says Ryan wants to go on Love Island. So I don't think I'd belong. I haven't got the body to go on Love Island.
I love Love Island.
aren't they all like really, really muscly?
Yeah, they're all ripped.
Yeah, so I don't belong there.
Anyway.
Same again, as I said, we keep getting distracted.
I know, this is going to be so frustrating. Sorry if you're watching just for the DIY stuff.
Look, people are getting the good gossip, so...
Four liters
first, yep. 500 grams. Then you add Fornamarin's trace element 3.
Yes, okay.
And then you fill up the rest of it to the top with RO water. So that's
5 liters.
That's to 5 liters, yes.
Okay, so it's RODI water, 500 grams of sodium bicarbonate.
Yeah.
Say 25 milliliters.
25 mils, yeah, of trace element three.
Trace element 3. Yeah. And then fill that jerry can up to 5 liters with RODI water.
Correct, yes.
Now you have two jerry cans of 5 liters.
Yeah.
With your calcium and your alkalinity, basically.
Yeah. And 5 liters on my 1,000-liter tank, I used to go through 5 liters a week when it was all SPS corals. How much do you get through in a week with your SPS corals?
Dosing liquids. Yeah. So I use ATI Essentials Plus, and I get through. I'm down to 20 mil a day now. I think I was dosing undiluted about 60 or between 60 and 100 milliliters per day of that stuff. And that meant I went through it quick.
Yeah.
ATI Essentials Plus is expensive.
I'm sure. But you don't have to worry about that anymore because you've got this new method.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll think about it. The only thing I'll say, because sodium bicarbonate, that doesn't give you a pH boost that some sodium is. I think it's sodium carbonate based.
Solutions
do give you a boost, but so this won't boost your pH.
Yeah, I'm not sure because I think some people do use that. Like, don't quote me on this because I've never used it. I don't know. I think some people do use sodium carbonate.
Oh, for sure. So lots. I think ADI Essentials Plus, and this is there are no
Charles has just said he's lost. I'm like, yeah. I will do a very, very quick summary. Like in the last minute, we'll do a very quick summary. Okay. I got some notes here. Look, notes.
So I think ATI Essentials Plus is a sodium carbonate based solution. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure soda ash is used in a lot of the ones that do boost your pH. Anyway, so we're going to do a quick summary for the sake of Charles. To recap, it's always good because when this information's thrown at you, it's better to hear it 5 times, I think. So.
Yeah.
Calcium, okay. You pour how much water, how much RODI water into a 5 liter jerry can?
4 liters.
4 liters, then you add 2.5 kilos.
No, 2 liters of calcium chloride dehydrate.
2 kilos of calcium chloride dehydrate from Intralabs.
Yep. Then 25 mils of trace element 1 from Fornamarin.
Yep.
25 mils of trace element 2 from Fornamarin.
Yep.
And then you fill the rest up to the top
with the 5 liters.
Yeah,
with so that RO gives you water. Your 5 liters of calcium with trace elements.
Yep.
And then for alkalinity, you add 4 liters of REDI water.
Correct. Yep.
Half a kilogram of sodium bicarbonate.
Correct. Yep.
25 mil of Fornamarin trace element C.
Yes. Yep.
And then you fill that jerry can up to 5 liters.
Just to clarify, different places have it as different. Some people had it as trace element C, and some of them have it as trace element 3. That, like, it's the A, B, and C is 1, 2, and 3. Right. It was the old method they used to use and the new method. Just it complicates things, but they're exactly the same.
Okay, fine. They didn't change the numbering around.
No, I'm pretty sure they didn't.
Okay, fine. So that's how you get your calcium and your alkalinity,
yep,
complete with trace elements built in. The one thing I'll say on trace elements is, so I have my ATI Essentials Plus includes trace elements, as many dosing solutions do. That doesn't mean that you don't need to dose trace elements separately, because your corals won't necessarily uptake in the exact same amount.
Yes.
But it's a fantastic start. It gives you, it's great, because you don't, it will give you something. So you might still need to top up your strontium or your iodine or whatever, but that'll be a good base.
Look at the second last comment that just came in.
Chuckle Brothers.
Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah. Did you miss a subscribe question? No, but we'll come on to that. We're doing this first, but we will come on to that.
That is, so Rene's Reef, that is basically what this is, but they don't tell you what the ingredients are in their instructions.
They used to, but they don't.
They used to, but they changed it, yes. And I'm assuming they changed it for this reason.
Exactly. So, yeah, good spot, Rene. And so I'll do the member questions at the end, because I want to summarize, and this is like the basis of it, and then we'll come back and we'll answer questions. And if you've got questions about this as well, we'll set aside 10 minutes to answer your questions too. So
yeah,
well, I say we, Ryan.
Well, we'll see. I'll try my best. Right. Right. So magnesium, same again, 5 liter container.
Okay.
4 liters of RO water. 2 kilos of magnesium chloride hexahydrate.
Okay.
And that's it. That's the easiest one to make. Yeah, that's it. Now, okay, magnesium chloride is a bit weird. You can't find it, and you had the same thing, didn't you? You can't find pharmaceutical grade versions of that, I don't think.
No, it just says it quality cosmetic is on the Intralabs website, and it's sold. It says on the label bath salts, which is disconcerting, because you're like, bath salts? I'm not putting that in my reef tank.
There is a few things that are like this where you put them in, you're like, oh, I'm not sure how I feel about that. There's some people dose nitrate. Is it potassium nitrate they put in?
Sodium nitrate.
Oh, sodium nitrate. Yeah, I don't dose nitrate, so don't listen to me. I dose it in a bottle because I don't know what I'm doing with it.
Yeah.
And that's what you should do. You should do two for all of these.
And that's the difference, is that you've been doing this for years and years. But this does, on the Intralabs website, this does say how to use magnesium chloride. Number one, bath. Number two, de-icer. But number three, marine aquariums.
So they say that. That's cool. I didn't know that.
And it says that for both the calcium and the sodium bicarbonate as well.
I don't remember that being there before, so they must have learnt that.
Okay, so sorry, let's wind that back again. 4 liters of REDI,
yep,
2 kilos of magnesium chloride hexahydrate,
yes,
and then top that up to 5 liters with REDI water.
And that's it, you're done.
That's it. So the one thing with that is, that's the Fornamarin recipe.
Yeah.
The one thing with, I found a magnesium calculator online. I think it was Ultimate Reef, but it might have been Hamza's Reef. Hamza's Reef is a wicked website for calculating when you want to adjust levels like salinity and magnesium and all that sort of stuff. But I found a thing online, and it said you need to get a liter of IDI water and pour in a kilogram of magnesium flakes to achieve this level. So you can work out if you want to change the intensity for whatever reason, which you probably shouldn't do, but you can change that. But anyway. So now you've got 5 liters of calcium, magnesium, and alkalinity.
Correct.
Included with trace elements. There are no trace elements in the magnesium bit.
Yeah.
What else?
That is literally all I do for the coral farm. I don't do anything else that's special for it. What are you expecting me to say?
No, that I wasn't expecting you to say anything. But that, so that, when you've got that, then obviously to work out how much you need to dose, you need to start dosing it and you need to test everything and see how much you're... If your tank hasn't got any corals in it, you don't need to do any of this.
Yes.
But if you test regularly every day for a few weeks, if your alkalinity keeps going up, that means you're dosing too much, and your calcium and magnesium. If they keep going down, you're not dosing enough. And so a bit of trial and error, balance it out, go very slowly, and then you'll eventually get it level. I presume with this, you end up dosing more of one and less of the other.
Yes, definitely.
What, so magnesium, well, what do you dose?
Magnesium more is the lowest. I hardly had dose any of that. Calcium is then the second lowest, which, and then alkalinity is the highest.
Do you know how much of each you dose per day?
I don't, but it's like hundreds of milliliters difference between them. Right. This is why I never understood how two-part really works, because people could put in the same amount of calcium and the same amount of alkalinity. I'm assuming they just bond with each other and precipitate. Whereas that the corals use them at different rates.
Yeah, so I have found, I used to find for a long time that I stopped testing calcium because it never changed. Yeah. But actually over time, and maybe it's because I had more corals, I don't know, maybe just because I found that calcium, you need to dose more of the calcium part. My two part is bottle one is alkalinity, and bottle two is calcium and magnesium. And I have to dose more of the second part, calcium and magnesium, than the first part.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say something, but it's literally gone out of my head. Sorry, I interrupted you for no reason.
Okay, never mind. So, all right. So first off then, if you've got any questions about this, we'll stay on this topic for another 5 minutes.
I just remember what it was. Your salinity increases when you use this method. So it's very important to keep an eye on your salinity. it does it very, very slowly. But if you don't, because it basically makes salt.
Yeah.
That combination.
Sodium chloride.
Yeah. So it increases very, very slowly, but you do have to keep an eye on it.
So that I glossed over that very quickly. But the reason for that is you're getting sodium bicarbonate.
Yeah.
And you're adding calcium chloride.
Yeah.
Sodium chloride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Off salt. So that's why it increases your salt. Tropic Marin has a three-part balling, balling classic. The third part of that is contained, I think it contains, I forget the science, so if I'm getting this wrong, excuse me.
There's no facts here.
Well, there are no facts right here. But the third part of Tropic Marin balling, people often think it's magnesium. It's not. It's a balancing part that contains all the other things, I think, except for sodium chloride. So it's sodium chloride free, and that means that it levels it out. But this doesn't do that. And two-part dosing, this I'm making a video in 2 weeks' time about the things I've learned from my 6 years of my reef tank. One of them is you really do have to keep an eye on salinity. So the more you more two-part you dose, the more your salinity will slowly spike over time.
Yeah.
And so you just need to pull out a bit of water and replace it with fresh water. And it's the same with this. So, and this is any two-part dosing. I believe it's any two-part. Kalkwasser doesn't do that, by the way. It's a freshwater solution, so you don't have to worry. Anyway, but any two-part dosing, you do need to keep your eye on your salinity, especially when you get to the point where you've got tank packed full of corals and you're dosing loads of the stuff, because your salinity will slowly increase.
What I will say is this must have saved me thousands of pounds over the last, as I said, I think corals I've probably been keeping 16 years. I had a fish only tank for a while when I very, very first started. But if you think about the cost of, I don't even know what the cost of a bottle of alkalinity is and how quickly you go through it, but it must have saved me thousands.
The last time I checked, I went through, I think it was the 2 liter bottles of ATI Plus in about 3 months. And I bet this would last twice as long and cost half as much.
I'm just
maybe even less. So hang on. Let me just wind back. I'll work out the costs. So sodium bicarbonate and calcium chloride. Yeah. Okay. How much magnesium did you add for this 5 liter mix? 2 kilos.
2 kilos. Yeah.
2 kilos. If you buy a 2 kilo bag, which you might as well do for this, that's £7. Bicarbonate, sodium, but how much alkalinity did you
can
add?
Get it cheaper, basically. The
more you buy,
have to measure it out, obviously, but you can get it much cheaper if you buy in bulk. But
okay, so this is the most expensive it'll be. How much alkalinity powder did you add?
500 grams,
£3.84. We'll call that £10.
Yeah.
How much calcium chloride? 2 kilos.
2 kilos, yeah.
£9.60. So that's about £20 for 5 liters of dosing solutions. I wonder if Fauna Marin dosing solution.
Don't do that. That's unfair. Compare them to someone else.
Okay, well, I'll compare it to. I won't tell you what thing I'm comparing it
that's
to.
That's what I was doing. I was looking.
I've just found a dosing solution online. Oh, in fact, it's not Fauna Marin, so okay. But I bet it's similar. Oh, I don't know. It might not be similar, but it's 5 liters and it costs £120, so 6 times the price. Now that gives you the comfort that you've not heard it from some numpty on the internet. No offense. And you've got it from a company that gives you the other thing is so Fauna Marin and Tropic Marin and all Red Sea, all those companies, yeah. They give you the comfort of on the label, it will tell you if you want to increase your alkalinity by 1 dkh, add 100 milliliters per 100 liters of water. So it will tell you exactly. Whereas with this, you've got a trial and error it. Although I wonder if you can.
It's exactly that. I don't know if you saw my face a minute ago. It was like a shocked look. I'm not going to tell you the brand, but it is outrageous. The difference in price is like times 8 for just one product.
So part of the reason for that is that you've got to, if you're at, so you've made this solution with 5 liters of water. Was it half a kilo of powder alkalinity?
Yeah.
So instead of that's half a kilo of that stuff weighs half a kilo.
Yeah.
So you're shipping around 4.5 kilos of water.
Yeah.
What's the point of that? So that's where a lot of the money goes. And some companies like Red Sea and Tropic Marin do the powdered version. It's just people don't like it because it's easier and it's more. But all you're paying, but all you're doing if you're not buying the powder version, and by the way, I'm one of the numpties who buys liquid stuff. I think
are you
do? Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
All you're paying for, all that extra money, you might look at it and think it's more expensive, so it must be better. You're just paying to move water around the world.
You can see the difference between someone who started when they were 18 with no money. And someone who started when they're like settled in life, if you see what I mean.
Alex, can you make a spreadsheet for the Facebook page? I will do, actually. I'll stay behind with you afterwards and I'll write it down and I'll try to add links and all that sort of stuff. So yes, okay, I will do. One thing actually I should say on the trace elements, so you use Fauna Marin trace elements.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about making your own trace elements?
No, I don't know enough about it. I don't know
that you can base it
on. Yeah, yes. And obviously, trace elements are like tiny, insignificantly small amounts.
They're not as expensive, yeah.
It's not just that. It's like if you put you can very easily overdose them if they're so small.
Yeah, it's accidentally like, put 1,000 times too much in.
Well, yeah. Like when I dose manganese for the, if I do an ICP test and it says manganese is low, which almost always happens because gonioporous. It says, oh yeah, dose like 1 milliliter a day. You just think, how much of that 1 milliliter needs to go into a 5 liter container? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Question coming in. Can you overdose magnesium?
You can overdose anything, I'm sure.
Yeah. You could die drinking too much water.
Well, technically, you can overdose too much water in a reef tank as well, because then the salinity's wrong.
But you can. The only thing with that's a reasonably good question, though, because you see lots of people running magnesium really quite high, like 1,500 parts per million.
Yeah.
But you can overdose it. I don't think I've seen people go much beyond that, but you can do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I run mine over the years. I've run it between 1,350 and 1,500. Yeah. When I was running at 1,500, I also had alkalinity of 12 and calcium of nearly 500 to boost growth.
That's the point. Sorry, let's run through just for the sake of completeness, really. What levels do you aim for your alkalinity?
Currently on like 8.4, roughly.
Oh, really? That's quite precise.
Yeah. Well,
if it gets to 8.3, do you like wake up in a panic? And
no, it's like literally it'll be, it's pretty stable at the farm, to be honest. Remember, they're massive systems. They're like 2,000 litres.
You've got it dialed in.
It's usually between 8.2 and 8.6. If it's those, I'm happy.
Yeah, okay.
That's fine.
Calcium?
Calcium would be it's 420 is what I aim for, but if it's 400 then I'm fine with it, and if it's 440 then it's between 400 and 440 is fine.
Okay, that's what I magnesium go for. Did you say it's 1350? Sorry,
yes, 1350.
Okay. Fine. And how often do you test? You test every week, right?
I test every week, yeah.
Okay, fine.
It's too important for me. Like, whereas some people, obviously, you might have, it's a lot of money, but you might have £200, £300, £400, £500, £1,000 of coral. For me, it's like tens of thousands of pounds of coral. So that, you see how the value of that one test is, yeah, is worth a lot. Yeah, you see what I mean?
But, and there's two ways of looking at the dosing solutions. I don't, if you buy your own dosing solutions, if you buy Red Sea, Tropic Marin, ATI, whatever dosing solutions, that's totally fine. It's a good way to go. And I wouldn't say you're an idiot because you're paying for money, because it's easy and it's reassuring and it's simple. So there's no, and it's, although it is relatively expensive, it's not that expensive compared to the cost of running a reef tank. So it's one of these things where it's like, well, yeah, I can save a little money, but is it really worth it? So if you decide, no, this isn't for me, stick with your Red Sea, your Tropic Marin, whatever. It's totally, totally acceptable. And this will not be for 90% of hobbyists. Maybe.
Yeah, and remember, I go through loads of it. So some people that might be sitting there with nano tanks going, oh yeah, this sounds like a really good idea. I might be able to save £3. Whereas I'm saving like hundreds over the years. So there's a big difference.
That's another point. Nano tanks, it's a lot of hassle for when you can just buy a couple of bottles. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, if you're having to mix up 5 liters, obviously you could divide that by 10. But if you're having to mix up 5 liters, do you want 3 5-liter jerry cans knocking around all the time? But...
yeah, I find that the dosing solution container, it's the same as an RO container. The biggest ones you can get that you can fit into the space is the best thing you can do.
Yeah, for sure.
But you absolutely have to have all three of them, or all four, including the RO. It must last a week. Because if on a Monday it runs out on a Thursday, and the next week it runs out on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, and a week later it runs out on a different day, you don't. There's no routine or consistency. So getting things you can do weekly is essential, as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough. I'd do it less frequently than weekly. I would mix up a month at a time, or
I'm talking about RO water as well, because normally people like on those the Red Sea tanks where you had those little containers and people had to fill them up every like 3 or 4 days.
Pompey Reefer has a question. I've just mixed up a batch of magnesium using a similar method, but I followed the BRS of adding magnesium sulfate to in a 7-to-1 ratio. Any reason you don't add magnesium sulfate and you only use magnesium chloride hexahydrate?
It's probably there is no reason, as far as I know. It's probably an advancement in science of the hobby over the years. Remember, I've been doing this for a long, long time. It's worked for me. I've never changed it. I've never looked into doing anything else. So I don't know what the benefits of adding that is as well.
There's an article of Randy Holmes. I don't think this is new. There's an article from Randy Holmes Farley on Reef Central. I can't remember what it is, but if you look up magnesium sulfate and hexahydrate, Randy Holmes Farley, you'll find it's a long article. I'm too stupid to understand it. I tried to read it all, but I was just, my brain started glossing over, my eyes were twitching in this, so I didn't get it. And I just decided, you know what, it works for Ryan. Your farm, I've said this all the time, your farm is, I joke at saying that it's the number one coral selling website in the country. I actually think it is, and your farm is fantastic. I really mean that. And if it's good enough for you without the magnesium sulfate, albeit doing water changes regularly.
I do regular water change as well.
Next question, how do we make a 25 kilo bucket of salt?
I've actually genuinely wondered that myself. I wondered what, because like Tropic Marin Pro is pharmaceutical grade, which means they've just got all the elements and put them together and
get
mixed them
up. In their factory and write it all down.
After this live stream, they're letting me nowhere near them.
Exactly. People can do that, actually. I talked to Aquaman, Sean, from Successful Aquariums or Successful Reef Aquariums, and he was talking about that you can do that, and some people do it, but it's too much faff for like 99.999%. But you can do it, actually.
Yeah. Aquaforest once emailed me saying that they would make me my own, like...
They
make salt specifically for my requirements. So there must be, they must have a pharmaceutical grade salt as well, I assume. Well, the difference for people who don't know So some salt is comes literally from the ocean. So Red Sea's one is like evaporated. And then they come with big like machinery and collect all the salt, and they filter it and everything and clean it and put it in buckets.
Would you need to add trace if you use Balling Part C? Balling Part C, Tropic Marin Balling Part C, I don't think includes trace. I think it's just the balancing part. But that's not quite connected to what we're talking about. So
yeah, I'm not sure what that.
I would rather not answer it.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry. I hope you appreciate that. I'm not trying to be obstructive. I think
we should get Rene's Reef on here. They seem to know more than we do.
Magnesium sulfate. I feel like I've talked to him before on email. Magnesium sulfate ensures you add the correct ratio between sodium and chloride. Okay.
There you go.
Interesting. Nice, simple summary. Have you seen, what's your take on this reef snow? Is it fab or is it good? There's been a few of this. So what's his name? Inappropriate Reef has started this and made a video a while ago with coral snow, didn't he? You just mix up a bit of, you don't watch YouTube. Coral snow, which is just calcium carbonate.
Yeah.
And you pour it in your tank and it makes the water clear because it binds to organics or whatever. And then Reefdees did one recently as well, same thing. I'm not really interested in doing it, to be honest, but do you have any interest in it?
Well, so it basically just makes your tank cleaner or appear cleaner.
It's a flocculant. So I think the idea is it binds to whatever it is that it binds to.
And then it's skimmed out.
Exactly.
I've never seen it. I don't like playing with things. I'm like, this has worked for years. I will just keep doing exactly what I'm doing.
I think that's the coral snow was what was the German company that have all those pastel kind of SPS acro tanks?
Zeovit,
yeah. So yeah, I think that they had Zeovit coral snow. KZ's coral snow has been on the market for years.
Yeah.
But I've not used that. I'm not interested in using it. And actually, so I've turned my ozone generator up from 1 hour to 2 hours, or from 2 hours to 4 hours. And I've started, and that's made a significant difference. So I'm just going to use ozone for water clarity because it's wicked.
Did you see the comment that Trav put?
Trav.
It says, Ryan's face when Alex said he has the best coral shop. Ah, and it's true. It actually like touched. Obviously, I didn't realize what face I was making, but it was probably something like,
oh. I've touched Ryan tonight.
Oh, God. Right. What number is that? That's 1 minute 32.
Okay.
I can be bothered, I'm going to try and get all these clips and put them together and then put them on Instagram. But the chances are I won't be bothered.
This guy's asked a lot about Tropic Marin Coral Pro Coral. Do you know what that is?
No.
Pro Coral Minerals. I've got no idea what that is.
It's probably just a different brand, I assume.
Yeah. Coralan Zook, that's the one. So I think we have no more. Oh, just watching from the, no more questions. One. Simon Lockley Evans, just watching from the beginning at the moment and made me laugh. I have to do most of my in tank work at night now because the female clown. All right, she draws blood. Right, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So no more questions, I think, on that. If you've got any more questions, then crack on. Put them in the chat or in the comments afterwards, by the way, and I'll still get back to you on that. Now we're going to go over to the Reef Talk member questions. Hi, members. Thank you for waiting. First off, Push Button Reef. Daft comment, he says, but I mean it. And it's not daft. It's not a daft question. How do you clean or look after your microfiber cloth that you for your cuvettes or refractometers? Do you do anything with them?
I don't. I don't use a microfiber cloth.
Really? What do you use? No.
What, to clean the
fingerprints off your Hanna cuvettes? Yeah.
Literally just use my jumper.
You animal. I'm not
fancy like you with a little cloth. Like any old jumper will do.
Where is it? Oh, yes. If you were to buy a caddy from the press, what is it? reefdoc.se.com, it comes with a little slot for a microfiber cloth.
Oh.
Because I think of these things. Anyway.
I noticed that my one doesn't come with a little cloth for a little slot for a microfiber
bloody well
cloth.
Does.
Does it?
And it's got a space for scissors for the little sachets. It's got a small pair of scissors.
I've always wondered what that was for.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Anyway, I sent them with you. Anyway,
get the cloth.
No. This I've progressed since then. Yeah. So, the question. So I don't ever clean those. And actually, yeah. I recently threw away two of my Hanna cuvettes because they were filthy. They were covered in goop. think it was like magnesium gets really sticky, the magnesium liquid. So I think it might have been that. But whatever, I threw them away. But I've never had, I've never noticed them going bad over time with the microfiber cloth. The microfiber cloth I use to clean my tank, as in the glass on the outside, I throw that in the wash every so often, not very often, to be honest. But that's because that gets, over time, that'll get salt creep on it. I'm doing Mr. Miyagi. That gets salt creep on it. So that is worth washing because you don't want to be scratching your tank with salt creep. But I don't bother with them. And the Hanne cuvettes you can replace. They're actually relatively expensive. I think it was 10 quid for two, which is quite a lot of money for a tiny little thing. But nonetheless, you can replace them. So I don't bother. But you can just chuck it in the wash.
See, Trav's a legend like me. Just use your shirt.
Use your shirt. You, animals, all of you. But yeah, it probably doesn't do anything, to be fair. And next question is from James. Have either of you watched Chasing Coral on Netflix? Well worth a watch if not. What can we do as a hobby community to help make sure the wild reef survive? Have you seen Chasing Coral?
A long time ago. I've seen so many coral programs. I couldn't tell you which one that one was, if in all honesty.
I think they were. That was the one where they recorded bleaching events. They anticipated it and put cameras out for mass bleaching events. It's interesting. It's definitely worth a watch, but it was a while ago. What can we do as a hobby to make sure wild reefs survive? I think probably not a lot. Some people will try to justify it and say, oh, I'm a conservationist because I'm saving corals for when the planet goes too warm, and they're like, yeah, come on. That's the practical, the reality of actually doing, even if all corals got wiped out, or actually not even, if it got to the point where Australia was like, well, we need more corals, they're not going to come to the hobby because who knows what you've got in your tank.
Yeah.
The permits that you need to go through to export them. Anyway, I don't think there's a lot we can do, but there's something that I'll come onto in the news where I'll answer that in more detail, James. Edward is the final question. Is there a correlation between pH and calcium alkalinity consumption when dosing kalkwasser? Is there a correlation between pH and calcium and alkalinity consumption? Right, when dosing kalkwasser. When I increase the dose, I get a temporary increase of pH for a few days before it settles. So the more you dose, more kalkwasser you dose, the more your alkalinity and calcium will increase, and the more your pH will increase. It shouldn't drop after a couple of days, though. It shouldn't spike unless you're pouring in a liter all at once or something. But yes, there is a correlation. The more kalkwasser you dose, the more your pH will go up, and the more your calcium and alkalinity will go up. And that's why you don't want to just pour in loads just trying to get your pH up, because your alk will go up as well and your calcium, and that's bad. Don't care what anyone says. It's not a good idea. So that's the answer. That's the member questions then. We're going to rapidly rush through. I want to get to the news. So we're going to rush through the Prestige Reef Fish of the Week, which is a pineapple fish.
There you go. That'll do.
Horrible looking thing. Eats
really
everything.
Expensive. Really expensive.
And eats fish and corals. Does it eat corals?
Probably. I think it will eat small fish. I have seen them before in person a few times.
Okay.
They usually have them at aquariums because they're so odd.
Yeah. I think they're horrible things, but okay. Cool. A bit different. And the coral of the week was, you can think of one, so I had one. And I sold...
The coral of the week, Rainbow Loom.
You gave me the opportunity. So I sold my colony of Rainbow Loom. It was the size of your head today, or one of them. I sold two actually today. And it was one of my favourite acros. It's so nice. And it's this, it's got these purple tips. It's quite a green body. So lots of them are 90% green. But when it comes out and looks really good, it's got this deep purple. And it really does look like that, especially when you're looking up close. It's an absolutely stunning coral. It can be a little bit expensive, but it's worth the money. It's just such a beautiful coral. So I love it. And that brings us on to the news. So it's taken us quite, I feel like we've rattled through that last bit, but we're going to get there. So we're all good. And I'll come back onto that. So there's some more questions in the chat, which I'll come back onto. News. First thing, there is, have you heard of Reef Can?
I did see it. Is that, did the Red Sea make that?
That's correct. This is a Red Sea Reef Can, and this is a freshwater container, basically.
Yeah.
And these are, so the one on the left is 40 litres, which is 10.6 gallons. The one on the right is 18 litres, which is 4.8 gallons. And these are just containers to use as your freshwater reservoir for any tank, but they're specifically, they fit in, I think the smaller one fits nicely next to the sump in the Red Sea 170, for example.
Yeah.
These are, currently we only have prices in dollars for the States, $100 for the big one, $70 for the small one. What's your first reaction to those prices?
Sounds expensive.
I'll tell you why I think it's still worth going for, because I agree, that is expensive. $100 for a plastic container. You can use any plastic container you want for your RO.
I bet it's got a fit. And they look quite narrow.
There are several reasons that I think this is actually... So when I first set up my tank, I spent a lot of time trying to find the perfect size freshwater reservoir. And I lost count of the amount of containers I bought. I must have spent more than 100 quid on containers. And actually, what I ended up doing for the Peninsula 500, I contacted an aquarium company, and I got them to make one for my specifications. And it cost, I think it was like 150, 200 quid. But it was the best money I've ever spent, because it's perfect. And so actually, that's why I think these will be worthwhile for some people. 100 quid for a bottle is a lot of money. But I think it actually is worth it for some people, because it'll be a really good fit. And it also, it's got things like, it's got the water level markers on it. So you know exactly how much, you can easily measure how much you use. You know how much you've got left.
Is it Wi-Fi enabled?
It's not, no Bluetooth, no contactless.
No contactless.
Ridiculous. And it's also got a little, it's got two lids, one that you can pour water in. The other one is for the wires to go out of for your pump. And it's got a little spot for the siphon break to sit in for your Red Sea ATO. The only thing I don't like about this is it looks like it might be quite difficult to fill up. So because it's only got a little screw cap, basically, which is the bit you pour water into. My freshwater reservoir that I had custom made, it's about 6 inches wide. So you can pour water in really easily. Whereas with that, I'd probably get a funnel, to be honest.
Just for future reference, you know how... it's well known that I cannot stand talk about equipment.
Yeah.
Well, talking about water storage containers is the next level of worse for me.
That's why I'm getting through this quickly. It's got a little carry handle as well, so you could disconnect. Oh, actually, I don't know if you could disconnect it, because your pump's going to be in there. But you could easily move it to your... You can go and fill up with your RODI water system. I actually think that's quite good. It's expensive, so it won't be for everybody. And you might as well, if you're worried about it, spend 10 quid at Tesco. But I actually think that's quite good.
Very good.
We'll move on. And one thing I did say, I said a while ago that I was going to post all new products on the Facebook page and get people's thoughts on it. I only did that once because I run out of time. So I'll try to do that, but I've run out of time so far. Oh, well, that's a good idea. Actually, they'll make good dosing containers for bigger tanks. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, because they're slimline. Do you know what? Lots of people in the States buy slimline water containers. Sorry to prolong this. And you see them all the time.
Like you can see on my face the suffering, can't you?
But over here, I find it really difficult to find proper slimline containers. Anyway, but there you go. Fish news, Ryan.
One second, I've just woken up.
There we go, right.
Is this the angelfish?
Yes.
I was a bit meh about
I was meh, and then I saw the second photo, and I was like, okay, that's cool. So
this I didn't see the second photo, so...
brilliant. That's good. You'll see this then. So this is from Reef Builders, and it's a golden nebula angelfish is what they're calling it, which is a little bit of a glamorous name, but I suppose it's probably kind of expensive. And it is a gold flake angel crossed with a griffis, and I'd never heard of a griffis angel.
Are they the ones that are like black and like black, mostly black and white?
Maybe. Well, so this is the hybrid. That just looks like a flag fin to me.
No, griffis angels, I'm pretty sure, like the goth angelfish. They've got I'm pretty sure.
But that photo there, I look at that and I think it was a flag fin with blue lips. So that's quite a boring angel for me. However, the photo, the proper photo, so this is the griffis one, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which looks a bit like not a tinker's.
Emo angelfish.
There's a butterfly, a Burgessy butterfly. It looks a bit like a Burgessy butterfly. Anyway, that's quite a boring fish, I think it's not unkind to say. The first picture of the hybrid also looks quite boring, but the properly taken photo, look at that. Tell me that's not awesome.
I feel like you set my expectations too high.
I think that's so cool. Do you not like that?
The pattern on them is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to scroll up quickly? Just again, I just want to see the pattern on the Griffiths. Because where's that black line coming from?
No idea.
It must be the Griffiths, because there's no black lines at all on the golf.
It's either that or it's a Sharpie. But I think that looks so. I was very unimpressed by the first picture.
Yeah.
That one. But yeah. I was super impressed with the proper photo. And that looks like, I was going to say Quality Marine. That looks like Quality Marine. Follow Quality Marine on Instagram if you like good quality photos of fishing corals, because they post some awesome photos. But I think that's cool. I wouldn't pay however much they're going to ask for it, which is bound to be several thousand pounds. Does it have a price? I don't think it did.
Yeah, it will be a lot. Gold Flakes on their own are a lot.
Yeah, about 600. I bet it'll be north of 10 grand. And I wouldn't pay that, and it'll probably be LPS cars as well. But I think that's cool. I like that. Most of the hybrids I'm not that fussed about.
I quite like the Griffiths.
Do you?
Yeah, I know you say you don't like it, but I actually, you just don't see that sort of coloured fish.
Xanthorus? What's the cream angel?
Yeah, the cream angel. I don't know. It doesn't have those black and white stripes.
No. Similar to that, though.
It looks like it. What's those things, like the kiss band? I had a cream angel. It was the worst angel. It was one of the worst fish I ever had.
That's very similar, though.
It attacked everything.
Okay, but there you go. Another £10,000 hybrid fish. Mad Shep's not having it. What else is going on? Is it a hybrid? Yeah. Alex would buy a $20 high-tech funnel. I would. Do you know what? Sorry, go on.
Just remember, I was kept thinking we'd say this earlier. A funnel is so used. You need a funnel to get the dosing stuff into the containers.
Yeah.
And I found you can get these really big black funnels, which I think are actually for the same thing with cars. And that's the best thing you want. Because if you get a little funnel with a little like tube, it get the calcium, for example, is like little pellets. They block it up.
So I'm glad you got excited about a funnel, because I would. That guy's joking, saying I'd pay $20 for a good funnel. I would. Getting the wrong size funnel is so frustrating. So getting the perfect size funnel is worth its weight in gold. Although I would 3D print one, because I've done that recently.
Woody's gamer tag. When I change oil, I just pour it in. I don't need a funnel.
I think he means on a car.
Yeah, I just open the cap and just pour it in.
That's not changing oil.
Oh no, it's not. that's topping it up.
I'll tell you two stories about oil changes that went wrong once. So this was first off on my first. I think it might be my first car, my second car.
Funnel.
So, first or second car I had, it said low oil. The low oil light came on, so yeah. I was like, well, I'll buy some more. How much do you buy? I don't know, 5 liters. So I poured it in. And the light stayed on. So I kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And eventually the light went off. And then the car broke. I took it to the garage and they went, you've got absolutely tons of oil in here. What happened? And I said, well, I was pouring it in and the oil light didn't go off. And he was like, didn't you check the dipstick? And I was like, what's a dipstick?
You're a dipstick.
Exactly. So I ruined that. I was like 20. I ruined that car. I then tried to do an oil change on my bike. I had a KTM. And I rounded one of the bolts, and a 10-minute job became a 4-day extravaganza, and I had to apply a blowtorch and get a 3-foot-long wrench to get it off. It was a nightmare. Anyway, oil stories from Reef Talk. And the final piece of news: this is there's a YouTube channel called Frag Garage. Well, it's a Canadian coral farm called Frag Garage, the best coral farm in Canada, but not in the UK.
Or the world, apparently.
No, that's the truth. Not in the world. Anyway, Frank Garage, Adam is the guy. I can't remember his surname, but he runs a podcast that I've talked about here on the news before, called Beyond the Reef, I think it's called. And he did one this week. He has guests. It's not like us, where this is just two dickheads talking nonsense for 2 hours. He gets proper guests on that are really interesting. And he's really... I've offended you. But he gets proper guests on who are really interesting. And this week he's got Jamie Craggs on, who is the king of spawning corals.
Yeah.
He's a doctor, but he's a scientist over here in the UK, based at the Horniman Museum. And it's brilliant. I'm only about an hour into it, but it's really, really interesting. Well worth a watch. So go and check out Beyond the Reef podcast on YouTube or on your wherever you get your podcast from, for Frag Garage, and he's got Jamie Craggs on. He's wicked.
I think Lycia is flirting with me.
Where can I sign up? I need my sort ASAP.
No, the very last.
If I can't talk about reef politics, let me at least talk about Ryan's funnel. Hey,
I'm not sure what that means.
No smut, please. This is a smut-free zone. Everybody knows that. But
that's true. I've just added myself to the weekly offended list. People that live stream offend each week. I've just put myself on it.
God, I can't believe we've got to the point where we offend ourselves. The only thing, never buy a used car from Alex, no thanks. This is not a smart, no, it's not a smart free zone at all. The other thing I was going to say on that Jamie Craig thing. So I actually emailed Jamie Craig's about 18 months ago, or Facebooked him to ask if he wanted to come on and be a guest on this stream. And he messaged me about 3 months ago. He found it and he said, oh, I never check Facebook, so send me an email. I'm up for coming on the stream though.
Yeah.
Get in touch and we'll do it. And when I first got that, I was mega excited. And then I reflected on it. And actually, I think Frag Garage is the perfect place for him because they can nerd out over all the geeky stuff and go into real detail. Whereas this is more two dickheads having a laugh.
Basically, you want someone who's a bit dumb to be on your live stream make you look good. So you pick me.
That's exactly it. And so I don't actually think he'd be right for this, which is a shame because it would be awesome. But anyway, get your feel on Beyond the Reef. It's so good. It's really interesting. The stuff that he's doing is fascinating. And you can do it in your own tank. You can spawn corals in your own tank. Another super chat. Thanks very much. 10 likes, 249 watching. I bet if you refresh it, there's more than 10. So I'm going to do a DIY spreadsheet for this then, with all the summary of the data and stuff. So let's just summarize one more time. So calcium, you add 4 liters of water to a 5 liter jerry can.
Yes.
You then add 2 kilograms.
Yes.
Of calcium chloride.
Yep.
You mix all that in. You add 25 milliliter of Fornamarin Trace Part 1 and 25 milliliter of Fornamarin Trace Type 2, which may be now called A and B. Yep. You then fill up the rest with to the five liter mark with RODI water.
Yep.
That is your 5 liters of calcium put to one side with trace elements.
Correct.
You then get another 5 liter jerry can.
Yep.
4 liters of RODI water.
Yep.
Half a kilo of sodium bicarbonate.
Correct.
25 milliliters of Fornamarin Trace Part C.
Yep.
Or 3, whatever it's called. And then again, top that up to the 5 liter mark with RODI water. You then put that one to one side. You've got 5 liters of alkalinity and calcium with trace. And then the magnesium, 4 liters of RADI water.
Yep.
Calcium, magnesium, magnesium chloride, hexahydrate.
Yep.
And then that's it. And you top it up to 5 liters and no trace elements or anything else in that.
Correct.
And when you're doing the calcium, it has an exothermic reaction, so the bottle will heat up. So don't be surprised.
And also, I just thought of another tip. You dose them all at different times. So don't dose. Some people were like, oh, I'm just going to dose all my calcium, alkalinity, and magnesium all at the same time. That's a bad idea because they just bond with each other.
Yeah.
So you want to, if you're dosing them, you want to dose alkalinity, let it go in the tank for 5 minutes. Then you dose calcium, let that go in the tank 5 minutes. Then you won't obviously dose them equally. But just basically make sure you don't dose calcium alkalinity at the same time.
Cool. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Ryan? Let me just see if there's any follow-up questions, actually. You were right, 77 likes. Yep. I hope you're well. 2.5 litre pico. To me, to you. I love Chuckle Brothers. That's it. No, I think that's everything. Anything else you wanted to add or anything else you wanted to talk about before we wrap up?
Nope. Nothing for me. I don't think
you can't mix calcium with magnesium, no. Actually, no, sorry.
I don't know is the answer.
So for this you don't, But some, so my two part with ATI Essentials, part one is alkalinity, part two is calcium and magnesium. So I presume you can, but with this recipe, you don't.
Actually, that actually does make sense, providing obviously of the correct level of magnesium. Because magnesium, it makes sense because magnesium is there to separate, is to keep alkalinity and calcium from bonding together.
So that's
in theory, they don't bond with each other.
You can't mix magnesium in with kalkwasser. So there are some companies who sell kalkwasser as including magnesium, but it's not soluble in water kalkwasser solution. So you're wasting your time.
Someone just said, will all the powder dissolve? Most of it should. Sometimes there is some residue in the calcium one I've found, but generally speaking, but like you dose it, dose the solution. Don't dose anything at the bottom because it's obviously a saturated solution. Then just fill it up with RO water, clean it out. It gets rid of all any like thing that's left over, and then just start the process again.
Okay. How long will this sit in a container for? Without stirring, you just leave it there.
Mine's in there for months, so I'm not sure it matters.
6 months, yeah, no problem. It doesn't settle out or anything. I do find with the magnesium, the after a while the container gets a little bit of a brown residue at the bottom.
I got my magnesium container when I very very first did the coral farm. And it's like, obviously, it's like, I can't remember how big it is, but it's massive. I've never refilled it. And it's been 4 years.
Okay. So, will all the power, how do you beat dinos? Question for another day. I got my nutrients back up because they bottomed out and I used UV and various other things. But what's the deal with all three? I mean, that's a one part. That's calcium. What's formate? That's a one part. It won't necessarily work because you can't adjust calcium, magnesium, and alkalinity separately. Yes.
It's important people know that because, again, during the consultations, I have loads of people that seem to think that it does. Oh, this is a bottle. It says it does everything. I just pour it in, that'll do. And it's like, no, it doesn't quite work like that.
Interesting. So actually, I made a video about that, about the difference between kalkwasser and ATI and Ulfa Reef. And with both of them, you can't adjust everything separately. So you might need to have a third bottle for magnesium or anyway. 2 kilos of calcium in 4 liters of RO seems a lot. That's the recipe.
I know what you mean. It is a lot because I've always thought that. I've always thought it's loads, but.
Do you know, so when I did the magnesium one, I put half a kilo in 1 liter of water and it dissolved.
Fine. The calcium does dissolve, but not.
I'm sure there's a limit, but I was surprised at how much mag you can put in that water. But
either way, the most important thing is it's a saturated solution, so you know that it's a maximum capacity. So even if there is some at the bottom, it doesn't matter because you just don't put the bottom bit in.
Okay. The magnesium one is really syrupy, by the way. You don't want to get it on your table because it's really sticky. What else? Have we got any other questions about this? Whilst I've been interested, please can you educate me on a video, not a live?
Yeah, no, I saw that.
Yeah,
I'll let you tackle that.
No, is the honest answer. This is perfect for this sort of thing. But I will post. Go on the Facebook, the Prestige Reef Talk Show Facebook page, and it might not be tonight, but at some point I'll do a summary, a quick summary. And there is, I've made a note that there's a summary at 1 hour 53. So that will be in the comments as well.
Can we also timestamp 33 minutes and 1 minute, 1 hour and 32 minutes as well?
Not happening.
The one, you know, the bits where you say, I love Ryan and Ryan is great.
No, Ryan Batchelor from Bulk Hoof Supply. Well, on that note, I'm going to wrap it up, Ryan. Any final comments?
No. Well, everyone's just been paid, so you can go buy some coral.
Go buy coral.
You can keep me busy this week. So.
Someone asked earlier about chalices going south. Any issues? Magnesium would be the first place. Salinity and magnesium would be the first places I would start.
Salinity, definitely. And
if you want a little holder for your magnesium salicylate kit.
Yeah, that's a good place. Where do you get that from?
Reefdork.etsy.com is wicked. I genuinely love this.
Is this stream sponsored by Prestige Reef and Reefdork.etsy?
It is. Sponsored by us.
Edward says everyone loves Ryan. Let's finish on that note. Bye bye.
Right, mic drop. Cheers, guys. Catch you all next week. Thanks very much.
Bye.